ज्ञानतिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदामयं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातां सहगणा रघुनाथंवितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपदां सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। I feel extremely grateful to be here and also honored to be present amongst you. I offer my pranams to Dr. Dabolkar, Madam Hamsaji, Dr. Shubhangi Parkar, and all of you who are assembled here, qualified people from KEM Hospital, which is a very renowned institute. I have spent my childhood very close by here, and KEM was a most dear institute for our patients from my area. Although I studied from JJ Hospital, but I have my childhood ties with this place. Yoga is a very wonderful, innovative process which is essential in our life. And actually speaking, yoga, as we were hearing from the speakers, it is not just a therapy, it is a way of life. Yoga is not simply a therapy or a process, but is way we think about life, way we conduct our life. The word yoga has come from a word called yuj, Sanskrit dhatu. And this means to unite or to connect. And to connect with whom? With the Supreme Lord. Yoga is meaning the process of the whole human life is supposed to be in union with the Lord. And the process of uniting is called yoga. And there are varieties of yoga. The real yoga is a very broad terminology. It is beyond having good health or good mental status or some extraordinary powers to achieve that we see in Himalayan yogas. It is something much beyond all these things. We are medical practitioners, doctors. We are looking at yoga as a therapy to treat our disease or try to be healthy from one part of the Ashtanga yoga, that is maybe asanas, yogasanas, or certain degree pranayam. But yoga actually begins from yam and niyam, which is actually a pure lifestyle. That means to things to do and things to not to do. Vidhi and nishedh, we can say. It begins from that. Unless and until we are on the very established platform of yam and niyam, we cannot yield 100% results of asana and pranayam. Now what to speak of dhyana and dharana and samadhi and pratyahar? These are all beyond our scope. So basically, human life is meant to be lived in a very pure state of consciousness. And for that some vidhis, some do's are required. And some don'ts are also very important, what we should not do. Grossly, the mamsahar, the dyutagrida, that is gambling, the intoxications and the illicit relationship between men and women are the main don'ts. And the do's are practices of truthfulness, service, compassion, chanting the names of God, living a pure lifestyle in our thought process is the beginning of yoga actually. And then comes the physical purifications of our senses and our nadis and our indriyas. And then comes the nigraha of the mind. Then comes the controlling of the mind. And then what is the purpose of yoga is to purify the body and the senses and the mind, so that with purified senses and peaceful mind we can meditate on the Supreme Lord, so that the purpose of yoga is fulfilled. But unfortunately, all of us nurses, doctors here, we have to think that we should not take yoga only therapeutically. Yoga should be taught in essence, in totality, the way Patanjali Maharaj has envisioned. By the way, I want to tell you that just when we were out in Calcutta, in West Bengal, I visited the place where Patanjali Swamiji has written Yoga Sutras, that is Vidyanagar, in Ritudvipa of Navadvip Dham of Mayapur. It's a very beautiful place. Not only Patanjali ji, but many, many great writers, including Valmiki, who wrote Ramayana over there, and so many other people are there. Like Kapila Muni wrote his Sankhya Yoga there. Like Vidyanagar is a place of Vidya, where all kinds of 18 Vidyas are broadcasted, written, and preached about. I was very fortunate to visit that place. So yoga is a science and art of harmonizing our own self, our own consciousness, with our true nature, also with all the living entities, with the mother nature in which we are living, also harmonizing with the whole cosmic creation that we are participating with, and finally harmonizing ourselves with the source of this creation, that is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And as I said, harmonizing with our nature. So what is our true nature? The scriptures in various Vedas and various Puranas, it is explained that the spiritual nature of ours is Ananda Mayo Bhyasat, which means we are always by nature pleasure seeking. Satchid Ananda is our true identity. We are eternal, we are full of knowledge, and we are blissful by nature originally. Now that we have covered with this body and covered with the indriyas and the mind, the gross and the subtle body, our nature of blissful tendency is now getting covered. That's why we appear to be miserable, appear to be suffering, appear to be seeking pleasure. Because it's the original nature of the soul is to seek pleasure. It's always pleasure seeking. It's the nature. So there is nothing wrong and sinful to seek pleasure. But to seek pleasure in the right direction is the goal of our life. All the living entities are of this nature, not only human beings. All living entities that are created by God are of this nature. So, the purpose of yoga is to find the true bliss within ourselves, not from outside. There are so many Marathi songs which our saints have written down. There is no need to go out and search happiness. The happiness is hidden within ourselves. If we truly realize ourselves and then realize the connection of ourself with the creator of the universe, then immediately there is happiness from within. There is no need to search here and there. The proof of our being a successful yogi or not is that pleasure that we experience. How we can identify a successful yogi? A successful yogi is that person who has found that pleasure within, who is dwelling in that pleasure within, who is absorbed in that pleasure within, and that pleasure within is helping him to see every living entity as one's brothers and see the Lord as one's father. So he doesn't differentiate even amongst human beings, what to speak of human beings and the other living entities. He sees all the living entities as his brothers, as part and parcel of the Lord. That is a symptom of a successful yogi. Yoga therapy will help us to create good health and create peace of mind. And there are many kinds of yogas. One of them is karma yoga, that means action without expectation of the fruits of action. When the karma yogi gets knowledge and gets realizations, he understands what the purpose of the whole life is, then he gets renunciation, vairagya. When he gets vairagya, he becomes a jnana yogi. By the dint of his knowledge, he understands that the world is full of miseries and the pleasure is somewhere else, not in this world, not in this material world. Then we have today Dr. Dabholkar, great personality who has such faith in yoga, that is Ashtanga yoga, in which Yam, Niyam, Asan, Pranayam, Dhyan, Dharana, Pratyahar, Samadhi, these eight angas are described vividly, and it takes long, long time to practice this thing, purify our existence, and ultimately realize that the Lord is within us. The ultimate state of samadhi is uninterrupted absorption in the presence of the Lord within the heart. Riddheshe Arjuna Tishtati. Lord said that I am within the heart of every living entity. And to realize me, to concentrate on me, is actual real purpose of yoga. So this is Ashtanga Yogi. But very wonderfully and amazingly and beautifully, Lord Krishna summarizes this all descriptions of yoga. In Bhagavad Gita, is actually, this is the month where Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita. Coming Sunday, 23rd of December, is the day when Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna on the battlefield in Kurukshetra, which still exists. The place is still there. You can visit that place. So in this Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains all yogas. Not a single yoga he has left. Everything is explained. And then he says a very beautiful verse, which says, Yoginam api sarvesham madgate antaratmana. Sraddhavan bhajate yomam same yukta tame mataha. Tamo mataha. Which means he says, out of all the yogis, he is the best yogi who dwells in me in loving service. And this is my opinion, that person who unites with me in yoga is the best of all yogis. So ultimately all the paths of yoga, they lead to bhakti yoga. Madgate antaratmana means one who dwells in me in devotion, that is with the Lord, that is in bhakti. And bhakti has to be endowed with love and devotion coupled with service. It is just not a sentiment. It is expression of love and devotion is in the form of service to all the living entities who are suffering. One story is there, a small story, a Himalayan yogi, which depicts us the nature of a true yogi. He was meditating on the bank of Ganga in Himalayas, much higher, not in the Rishikesh or Haridwar. And there he saw from distance that one scorpion was drowning in the water of Ganga and getting floated away, flowed away. So he ran from his cave, jumped in the water and picked the scorpion. As soon as he picked up, what must have happened? He was stung, and with that pain immediately dropped him back to the water. Again he went in the water and again saved him. Again he stung him. Again he dropped it because of the pain. And third time and fourth time and fifth time, the fellow practitioner of yoga, yogi colleague of his who was staying close by him, he said, why are you doing this? Don't you know the nature of the scorpion is to bite and to sting you? So this yogi answered that if he is so much adamant on remaining on his nature of stinging, why should I give up my nature of compassion to save him? So the more he stings me, I realize more I have to be compassionate continuously. So this is the nature of real yogi. The real yogi is supposed to share his love that he has developed in the heart for the Lord with all the living entities who are suffering in this world. And that is why I'm sure what is motivating and moving Dr. Dabholkar is to see that the world is suffering with so much of diseases, so much of stress-related conditions, which is beginning in the mind first and becoming somatic, psychosomatic afterwards, and making our life miserable. And one of the means is to help them through yogic practices, to bring up to life of purity, simplicity, and then develop connection, first with health, then with peace, and then with the Lord. So when we go in crisis, I don't have to describe here how we come across crisis without even knowledge in this world. Nobody expects that tomorrow at 10 a.m. there's a crisis and I'm supposed to prepare for that. No, crisis comes always unalarmed. Nothing happens with notice to us, even within ourselves and outside of the body also. So when crisis comes, all of us know that our money, our resources, our contacts, our influences, nothing helps us. In fact, such situations like there was a bomb blast and there were 43 patients from a bomb blast in Bhayandar area came to our hospital, Bhaktivedanta. And at that time, people were just so much in chaos, you know. There's no question of thinking what to do now. They're all confused, chaotic, no direction. At that time, we understand that our money, our resources, our contacts, our influences, our beauty, our good health doesn't help us. We need to take shelter and support of somebody who can give shelter and support. The reality is the real shelter and support can be given to us only by the Lord, who is the ultimate resource in this whole creation. Rest all are reflections of his resourcefulness, that we ultimately help somebody through as a representative of God. So we need the process. We need to have the process of connecting with that ultimate resource. And that process is of bhakti. And through yoga, through variety of yoga, which ultimately lead to bhakti, one has to connect oneself and help others to connect. So what I am trying to request you is that don't take the yoga, word yoga, as only therapeutic angle. Think of yoga as a global, as a gross, as a complete understanding of yoga. What the Lord wants us to understand, what He described us in Bhagavad Gita, the meaning of yoga. What does this kind of connection with the Lord does? When we are most hopeless, when we are most helpless in our life, and suffice to say, our life is fully, or I may not say continuously, but it is in our life of 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, or 60 years, or in her case, 80, 90 years, is filled with so many situations of sometimes hopelessness, sometimes helplessness, sometimes crisis, sometimes which we can come over, sometimes we cannot come over, sometimes we fail, sometimes we succeed. We need a process by which we can constantly remain united with our source of energy, that is the Lord. So, what we are talking about is ultimately by performing Karma Yoga, by Jnana Yoga, by Ashtanga Yoga given by Patanjali, we want to ultimately come to yoga of love, compassion and service. That should be our ultimate goal. In our KM hospital and in all other hospitals in Bombay and India and the state of Maharashtra, the purpose should be ultimately help a person completely, not just from body level, not just mental level, but all his angles of existence, that is social, also intellectual, as he mentioned, chitta, on chitta level, on ego level and on spiritual level. In fact, our medical science, when we joined medical education, we have all taken oaths. Am I right, madam? Hippocrates. He has given an oath that health is not just merely not being diseased or not being sick. It is also physical, mental, social and spiritual well-being of a personality. That is the definition of health which the father of medicine, Hippocrates, gave us. But we have forgotten social medicine is there still, but spiritual part, the fourth dimension, we have forgotten. And we think this is all the medicine is. But medicine doesn't end at a social level. In fact, real medicine starts when spiritual medicine is given. So what we have developed at Bhaktivedanta Hospital is Department of Spiritual Care. And this spiritual care is coupled with yoga. In fact, there is a department of yoga also at Bhaktivedanta Hospital. Department of yoga, natural therapy, Ayurvedic therapy, all is called as holistic health care. Holistic also means all pathies, all the ways of medicine are integrated together. That is called as integrated medicine. And also holistic means physical, mental, social and spiritual. Both aspects of holistic is covered. And this spiritual care is based on a Bhaktivedanta Hospital model called MATCH formula. M-A-T-C-H. And let me explain to you in few words. M is the compassion, the mercy of the Lord. A is austerities, the rules and regulations, as we explained, yam and niyam, that we need to follow as do's and don'ts in our life. Then comes T, that is truthfulness. Truthfulness means, one level it means the absolute truth, the Supreme Lord. Another level it means living truthfully, without cheating propensity, living honestly, doing our work very honestly, thinking honestly, not in a very corrupted way, very simplistic way, honest way. So truthfulness is a very big subject matter. Then comes C. C means cleanliness. In Sanskrit we say shuchihi, that is shuddhi. It doesn't mean only physical shuddhi, it also means mental shuddhi. It also means intellectual purification. It also means pure spirituality. At all levels, the purity has to be created within us at different levels and outside of us, wherever we stay, the way we act, the way we think, the way we conduct our lives, the cleanliness, the shuchi, shuddhi has to be practiced and brought about. And lastly, the H is the culmination. The H is the holy name. And whichever walk of life we are from, as Madam was explaining, that people mistake religion with spirituality. Spirituality has nothing to do with religion. Spirituality is the nature of you and me. the very nature. When I prick myself, the blood is not Hindu or Christian or Buddhist or a Jew. Blood is blood. And if you are sick with abdominal pain, that pain is not Hindu or Christian. You just seek a doctor without asking his caste and religion, right? You seek help. The spirituality is nature of yourself. The very existence of yourself, very kind of yourself that we are expressing within our life. And religion may be an external expression of a format which helps you to express your spirituality. But spirituality is independent of religion, religiosity. Religion is a subset of spirituality. It may be an essential aspect of expression of your feelings about the Lord and your connection on yourself. So, this C, as last one I said, the H, holy name. Specifically, I want to mention here that the holy name can be from any religion. It can be from Hindu, Christianity, or Judaism, or Sikhism, or Buddhism. But the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead needs to be chanted. Hallowed be thy name who art in the heaven. The personality of Godhead, his name, bona fide name, has to be addressed. And when that happens, what happens is all the impurities within ourselves that we have been accumulating from lifetimes after lifetimes, they get cleared, they get purified. And when Cheto Darpana Marjanam Bhavamaha Davagni Nirvapanam, it's like using a soap on a cloth. What the soap does, helps the dirt to be taken out of the cloth and thrown away. With water it cannot be going away. The soap will remove the dirt from the cloth and takes it out. Like that, the soul is like a mirror which is covered with the dust of so many impurities. When we chant the holy name, the dust is cleared off. And the mirror gets clear and you can see yourself as you are. What is the purpose of mirror? To show you exactly the way you are. So the holy name purifies you, clears your mirror of the soul and shows you exactly who you are and who we are exactly in reality, part and parcel of the Lord. The Lord is complete Purna Sachidananda and we are minute Anu Sachidananda. And that we realize. And what happens after we realize that? Once we realize that we are part and parcel of the Lord, then we start behaving as part and parcel of the Lord. And that is called as bhakti. When we behave on the platform of the soul, naturally, nityo nityanam, chetanas chetananam, eko bahunam, vidudhati kaman. What it means is, the nature of the soul is to serve, to love, to show compassion, to serve everybody else. In the pathway of service, when he serves the Lord, the whole, he also serves the part and particles of the Lord. He doesn't differentiate. Everybody becomes servable for him. Like that yogi did not find any problem in serving the scorpion, drowning in the ocean, drowning in the river. It was nature for him. From within, he was moved to help the drowning scorpion. So, the spiritual care activities is also a most important activity of yoga. I do not consider the activity of spiritual care, giving spiritual care out of compassion, not yoga. It's 100% yoga, because what it is helping is, it is helping the person who is suffering right now and also those who are not suffering right now apparently, both of them to connect with the source of our life. And when we are connected to the ultimate source, automatically compassion rises from the heart. And my dear friends, we are all in medical profession here. Some of them are nurses, some of them are doctors, some of them are very senior medical practitioners. And even if you are not medical practitioners, our nature is to serve. Are we not serving our family, our samaj, our nation, our state, our caste people, our fellow living beings, our neighbors? We are constantly serving without even knowledge also. That is our nature. But to revive it completely through the process of connecting with the Lord is the real purpose of life. And this spiritual care, we have seen, I will just try to narrate 2-3 cases, how exactly this spiritual care helps. In bomb blast, again I want to repeat, there was a young man, 26 years old, who was victim. And he was brought to the hospital and he was almost gone, completely gone. Only a few hours he survived. And he had a young wife, just married few months back with him. And she was 3 months pregnant for the first baby from that person. And she was crying, like you can imagine how much she must be in agony. She was not knowing anything what to do. She was asking, what will I do? What is the purpose of my life? I should also die with him. And we had all our spiritual care assistants who were trained. You can call them in professional terms as chaplains, you know. They are trained spiritual caregivers. They were on the floor attending to all the relatives, and one of the relatives was this lady, young lady, pregnant, crying, and one elderly spiritual care giver was talking to her, and she was crying and she was uncontrollable. Finally, after some time, it was told to her that, see, your husband is dying, that is for sure. And how do you think this crying will help you or help him? You have to face the life now without your husband, with the child in the womb. You have to give birth and live together. So then she a little bit cooled down. And then it was told to her that, why don't you be of some use to your dying husband? What is the crying? How your crying will help him? He is struggling with life and death and he needs support. When one is struggling with life and death, it's a very intense situation. No crisis in life can be compared with death. So she said, okay, let me be useful to my husband. Tell me how. Then she talked to him and she held her hand and took her to ICU and explained to her how your husband will be now, with tubes and ventilators and with so many things around. She was prepared well. Then she was told to hold her hand on the forehead of the husband, one hand on the right hand of the husband, and she was told to talk to her husband, who was in coma actually. And my dear husband, whatever name was, I love you, I am next to you, I am here to help you, I am offering my prayers for your soul, I know you are departing, but don't think you are alone, I am here to pray for you, I am praying to the Almighty Lord to take you to a higher destination. I know I am going to separate from you. She spoke a lot of things, she was prompted and she spoke. And finally with her prayers, tearful prayers to the Lord for the husband who are leaving this world, he left in her presence only. She saw him passing away. And then she cried, she burst down. Then she came out and she said, I am happy, I am very sorry, I am very sorrowful that my husband died, but I am very happy that he died here. So I could be of some use to him in the form of prayers. I feel some worthiness of mine in this whole process. Thank you very much for helping me. So this is spiritual care. Spiritual care means ultimately things will go on happening in life. They will not change the course of time, action. But you intervene and make it better. The spiritual care done at end of life in Bhaktivedanta Hospital actually aims at making the event of death into a festival. It's also part of life. When we take birth, people are celebrating and distributing sweets to everybody and giving festivals and all these things. Why the death should be mourned upon? And we have been successfully helping people to be blissful at the moment of death. Our patients have been cutting their birthday cake 2 days before their death. Our patients have smilingly left this world. We have a hospice in Vrindavan, in Mathura district. We have a hospice at Bhaktivedanta Hospital also. And the whole aim is to give them a painless, happy condition by constant counseling so that they can leave this world in a very happy condition. Also, I would like to narrate you one case of our dietitian, chief dietitian, and her father was in ICU, last stages, and she's a very employee of right from day one of the hospital, so 15 years now. But she was always hearing spiritual care. When her father was admitted, all that end of life process, a very big subject, we'll tell you some other time, but all the process of end of life care, spiritual care was given to her father. And she again said the same thing, I'm very sorry why I lost my father, but I'm very happy he left his world from this hospital. So I could be of use. Somebody told me what I can do for my father. I was the participant of the spiritual care given to my father at the end of life. And then one more case is there right now I'm handling is Mr. Ketan. Somehow, unfortunately, life is sometimes so unpredictable. As a small child, this fellow is now 27-year-old. He has seen his mother and father being burnt alive due to some family disputes. They committed suicide, but there were some causes in the family who made them do this, all these things. So till last year, he was always mourning and mourning and mourning and angry with all the people who actually indirectly caused them to do this. So then he met us and I said, ultimately all this is a big karma connection. Whom to blame, whom not to blame, we don't know. Things are happening and we blame this person and that person, but actually ultimately we have a big stock of karma which is coming and interfering in our life. So forgiving and forgetting is the way the Lord expects us to do. And we also need to be forgiven for so many things by others that we have done. So if we deserve for forgiving by others, then we must first forgive others. And somehow we gathered courage and met all those so-called his enemies in his mind and said, I forgive you. And they were all cousin sisters and cousin brothers and uncles and aunties, not outsiders. And believe me, as soon as he said that, he felt I was relieved of all the burden that I was carrying for such a long time in my life. And as soon as he forgave them, verbally also, They all came up and told him, "We are very sorry and we caused so much of agony to you. Now let us join together and be friends and be relatives again." And now they are really living a normal family life, although he has lost his mother, father 25 years back in a very agonizing scene of in front of his own eyes. Spiritual care is that situation, that care, that process which helps one in any condition of life. It's not a condition of life, when you are all right, when you are healthy, when your stomach is full, when your money conditions are satisfactory. It is not like that. Any condition of life, spiritual care is effective because it is directed directly to the very person of you and me, that is the soul. So we have to understand this science, and we have developed spiritual care programs for normal patients. So-called normal means those who come and go. Typhoid, malaria, dengue, or some surgeries, appendix, there and there. They come, get admitted, get well and go. We have some program for them. And there are cases like who are in ICU, who are end-of-life palliative patients, of cancer patients are there. Some patients are in NICU, some patients are in surgery. We have packages for all these cares. And we have developed a curriculum for nursing students into a full 3.5 years curriculum of spiritual care in nursing. And to those who are already trained nurses from outside, already diploma and BSc's, we have developed a course called Certificate Course in Spiritual Care in Nursing. And very soon, the Royal College of Nursing from London has invited us, in the March we are visiting, to deliver certificate courses to train nurses of Royal College of Nursing into spiritual care. And also people from UK want to learn end-of-life care as a chaplain from us. And there will be another course for that also. And we are very happy that from KM Hospital, from Nair Hospital, from Sion Hospital, from JJ Hospital, and from new hospitals which have come up in suburbs of Bombay, nurses are coming regularly to our hospital to do these courses. So we are inducting people into this thought process first. And we request and aim and hope in future that the managements and the administrations get convinced about it, that this is a very important aspect of care to be given to people who are on bedside. Just medicines, as madam said, tablets, medicine, investigations, only psychological counseling is not going to be enough. It is very important and integral, but not going to be enough. What is required is giving them complete help. So we definitely seek blessings from all of you to be successful. Finally, I would like to tell you that spiritual care helps one to be free from grief. Spiritual care helps one to be free from grief and then be blissful to his true nature. Spiritual care helps one to be grateful and graceful. Whatever happens in life, one learns to be grateful. Like that dietitian who lost a father but was grateful for what opportunity she got to serve her father. Spiritual care helps one to accept the reality as it is, not alterations. That is very important, because reality will remain as it is, it will never change. Only we have to change to accept it. Spiritual care helps us to understand the very purpose of our existence of life. Why we are here? Who are we? They ask so many questions. Is God angry with me? What is the purpose of all? Who am I? Am I going to hell or God is angry with me? And who are they asking these questions? When they are in the hospital, they ask you and me only, nurses and doctors. And we don't have the answers, and we must have the answers, and there are answers available. So spiritual care helps one to understand the purpose of life and also become courageous to face life as it is and be blissful and ultimately achieve the purpose of uniting with our beloved Lord. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.